Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, how are you? I'm closing chapters, I'm turning pages. Glory to glory, from faith to faith, I'm moving on. Getting older, so I'll keep it straight. It hurts to let go, but it hurts more to stay. I'm moving on, I'm moving on. Hey, I'm moving on. Hey, 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 hey. I know my rear view can't compare.
Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, founder, owner, and executive producer of the Spirit Alive Network. And I am so blessed to be able to welcome you to Gap Ministries Bible Study for this Thursday, July the 1st, 2021. And now, here is your anointed host and facilitator and the founder of Gap Ministries, Apostle Jaylion Travis. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Bishop Shalene Cook. Thanking God for the opportunity today, this day, July the 1st, 2021, to bring a word for his people. I first, as they said, when I was a little girl in church, I give all praise and honor to God for the opportunity, for the blessing, for the outpouring of his word that was poured into my spirit to be poured out upon the people of God that's listening worldwide on tonight. And also I thank him for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is not only the head of my life, but the love of my life, my Redeemer and my Keeper. And I thank God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm asking that the Holy Ghost would have his way in everybody's life, including mine on this Bible study on tonight. I thank God for all the listeners that are on the that are listening tonight, including our GAP ministry, members of GAP, members that follow GAP, people that are just tuning in to Spirit Alive Network. And I thank God for being home on Spirit Alive Network. So I just want to take a couple of minutes, just a minute to just pray like I always do. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for the blessing of this day and this opportunity to bring forth your word. I ask from my heart, Father, from the depths of my soul, that this word will be a nourishment and a fulfillment for the things that people that they need to break the strongholds, to bring peace and deliverance, to give them a way of understanding, to help them to see what it is that you want them to see. Let them receive the portion that you have for them in this word. Father God, and let this word gravitate, not just from them, let it be poured into others, but let the word just become deeply rooted, grounded, settled, and established in them first. And let them feed others as they go ye into the world, that our minds be renewed and we be transformed. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight's Bible study, we're going to talk about strongholds. You know, stronghold represents something that holds you strong or something that will hold you back or hold you within. We're going to talk about a particular stronghold that's very adamant in the book of Joshua called the Walls of Jericho. You know, now the story about the Walls of Jericho, pretty much, you know, they came to Jericho, but they had it shut up. I know in one of the, Jeremiah 6 in that first verse, because we're going to go back to 5 and 13, because we're going to talk about an encounter first and how God set things in place and how he gives instruction and how he's moving. And it's something that the enemy has shut up to keep God from coming in to help you, or the enemy has erected something through your unforgiveness or your fear or your doubt, and that's a wall. That's like the walls of Jericho. Now, the word says in Jericho 6, that first chapter, says, now Jericho was straightly shut up because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in, meaning nobody could actually get in, and that's what they want to do. Now, if you know the story, Joshua had set spies to go into Jericho to see what it was about and what it was like, and somebody leaked a rumor that there were spies in the city. And there was this one particular lady who had a questionable, well, we know her to be Rahab, and she was a harlot, and a harlot back then was a prostitute. She hid them in some bulrushes on the roof of her house, and that protect them. Then she let them down on the side of that wall so that they can escape back to safety to report back to Joshua and his people. So, but it says here in verse 1 in chapter 6, it says, now Jericho was straightly shut up. And I was like, well, God, show me what the word straightly means. And he says it means confined and it's constricted and it's fitting tightly. That means there was no way to get in. If you were not let in through the gates by the people of Jericho, you weren't getting in. So it meant how the enemy would take something that belongs, and we're going to look at it from the point of view that God gave it to me. There are some things in our lives, beloved, that God really wants access to, but we have actually erected a Jericho wall, or we have allowed the enemy to erect a Jericho wall. Now stay with me, because we're going to go back, and we're going to go back to that fifth chapter. Now, the fifth chapter in verse 13, it talks about the fall of Jericho. Here's how God set things in place. You think that you can keep something from God. The enemy thinks he can get you and confine you and hold you fitly, you know, tightly to keep God from getting you, that he can constrict you to his will and his way. Because, see, the enemy can have us caught up in what we call strongholds. And a stronghold is almost like having a wall wrapped around the issue or the situation that we're confined in. So the enemy thought that, okay, we're going to keep Israel out. And we all know that Israel is the chosen nation that God had talked about to Abraham way back in the beginning. He had talked about, he had changed Jacob's name to Israel, and that means one who knows God, one who sees God, one who hears God. There are so many different definitions of that name, Israel. But it says in chapter 5, verse 13, it talks about the fall of Jericho, but here's the setup right here. And it came to pass, verse 13, it says, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went up unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or art thou for our adversaries? Verse 14 says that the man responded and said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. Meaning God sent me, and it's about to go down. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And verse 15 says, the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place where thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, if we look back in the book of Exodus, when Moses went up into the mountain, the Spirit of God was speaking through the burning bush, and he told him to take off their sandals because the ground which you stand on is holy ground. This is symbolic of God telling you wherever your feet is going to try, there should be nothing to separate you from holiness, from touching it. So you have to take that thing off. There are some things we have to remove off of us so that the holiness can take a hold of us. But since some of us keep the shoes on our feet and know we're standing in a holy place, but we're still constricting ourselves, we're still dividing ourselves from the thing that God wants to perfect in us, to make holy in us. So now we're going to go back over to the sixth chapter, because I promise you this is going to feed you, this is going to set you free, because the way that the Lord gave it to me, it was like, oh, my God. And I've always read this chapter. The book of Joshua is always one of my favorites. So it says, like in the sixth chapter, in the second verse, the Lord said unto Joshua, after he talked to the angel and everything, he says, see, I have given unto thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. This is God saying, hey, they think they got me shut out, but I've given you access before you even get access. You have to, God give us access into our blessing, but even before the blessing comes to us, but we have to follow instruction. We have to first hear God. When the angel came that God sent, and that was the captain of the host of God's angelic host. So he sent his top guy. He didn't send anybody. God always sends his word to you in that order, in that fashion, with that rank, with that type of anointing, with that type of empowerment and authority. So he says, again, he says, and the Lord said unto Joshua in verse 2, see, I've given unto thee thine hand Jericho. Not only is he giving him Jericho, but he's giving him the king and the mighty men of valor. And then in verse 3, he said, yet shall you shall compass, meaning go around the city, all you men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shall do this for 6 days. And he said, the seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of rams and horns. And the 7 day you shall compass the city seven times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all of the people shall shout with a great shout, and the walls of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Meaning, everybody will go up, and they will go in a straight fashion, meaning a certain way that they're going to go. Now, I studied some things, and Bishop, this is something that shocked me, that surprised me. I studied something with a Hebrew Bible, and I had a rabbi that was talking to me with my friend of mine named Shundi, and they said when the walls fell, they fell as ramps, giving people access. They didn't just fall, crumble to the ground. They were actual ramps into the city, and the people were led straight away into the city. So not only did God tell Joshua at the beginning of chapter 6, he said that I have given unto thee thy hands, Jericho. But there are some things that we have to do. There are some things, because see, there were instructions. They had to march around the city in a certain way. Now, see, there had to be certain things put in place. In order for a stronghold to be broken when God, hallelujah, when God is talking to us, when we are praying and saying, Lord, I need you to take this off of me. Why is this happening? Why am I repeating this cycle? Why can't I get to that blessing? I see it, but I can't get into it. I see that thing behind that wall. And God will make the walls where you can see straight through them as if they're glass. All you have to do is listen. And you have to pay attention to the things and the people that God put in place. He put the angelic, the captain of the angelic host, after he told him who he was for. He told him, well, he didn't say, no, he didn't say, yeah, I'm for you, brother, or no, I'm not. He said, I was sent by the Lord. And he said, when he said that he was sent by the Lord, I'm like, wow, he was saying that, you know, I'm the captain. You know, I'm the man in charge. And what I tell my angelic host to do, it's going to happen. But something's got to happen for you. Just like something you were fighting for or for gap ministry for, Bishop. But we still have to do our part. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
So
amen.
When he told him this, he said the first thing when he responded, first, when you ask the question, God's going to always respond. So the angelic host responded and told him, yeah, I'm for you, but what I need you to do now, there's something that you got to do. I need whatever is separating you from God, and I need whatever is separating you from holiness, I need it to pull from you, whether it be your attitude, your unforgiveness. See, with this situation, it was his shoes. But the thing that we have to remove from us before we step on holy ground, before we be able to stand on, not just step, but stand steadfast on holy ground and in our faith, we got to trip some things off of us. It could be the unforgiveness. It could be the bitterness. It could be the vengeance in your heart. It could be your gossip. It could be your backtalk. It could just be your mouth. You talking too much. Telling, what if somebody said, hey, all of y'all back there in Jericho, Joshua didn't talk to the captain of the angelic host. It's about to go down. Y'all better do something. But God wanted it done his way. We want our strongholds broken our way. We want to feel like that we ain't got to forgive nobody in order for us to move forward. But we still hold on to that bitterness and that unforgiveness. So you still got it laced up and strapped on. So something is keeping you from holiness because there's a separation there. So here we go, listening to the instruction, because we need access into Jericho. That's what we need. We need access into Jericho. But before we can get access, strongholds got to be broken down. Whatever the petition is, the thing that's keeping us out, got to be removed. But if you want to remove it, I can guarantee you that it will not stay down. It will not come down. Maybe bits and pieces will. You may get a little bit, you may have a little piece, but if you don't give it all to God and follow what he's telling you in the instructions, it's not going to come to pass the way that you want to. It's not going to level out. It may fall, but you won't have the kind of access, because the word says that they had straight way. They went in straight way with a straight access. And I'm like, well, Lord, if they went in that way, what is it about the strongholds that you want me to talk to the people about? He said, they have to follow and listen to my instructions. He said, they have to hear me. They have to hear the ones I sent to them. They'll have to follow and do exactly as I asked them to do, in the manner that he asked them to do. He told them when he told Joshua, he told him to take the priests and the men of war, and he told them when the priests go up to take the Ark of the Covenant before them, and he told them to take the seven trumpets of rams, the horns, and he told them to march around the city, blow the horn once a day for 6 days. But Joshua first told the people, y'all going to march, but you are not to utter a word. You're not to even whisper nothing. You're not to say anything. How many times have God said, I'm going to do this, but I need your silence? A lot of times our silence in our prayer time, sometimes I don't even pray out loud. I pray for my spirit, or I'm praying in tongues, but God hears it. If the enemy can hear you, I'm not saying the enemy can overcome anything that God does, but he can throw those obstacles and those roadblocks in hopes that you will back up and not try to do what God wants you to do, to get you distracted where you won't do exactly what it is. So those walls, those strongholds, please stay with me, those strongholds will come down from you or will come down from before you. A lot of us got strongholds with our children. They're shut up behind situations of this society that's telling our boys that if they want to be girls, they can be girls. Telling our girls if they want to be boys, they can be boys. They're telling people they need to do this, and this is not politically correct. If you're a pastor, you have to marry everybody because love is love. God is love, and it don't work like that. God is love, but he loves righteousness, and he loves holiness. If you come to me and ask me to marry you and you're of the same sex, I'm going to give you the word. And the word that I'm giving you is going to be the gospel, the truth of God that is meant to set you free, that is meant to tear down that Jericho wall that has you deceived, that has the truth on the outside and you living on the inside of a lie, because that's what Jericho to me seemed like. Because when the spies got in there and the prostitute Rahab, hid them, I honestly believe God said, you know what, I'm going to go up in there and I'm going to rescue old girl. I'm going to tear down this wall. I'm going to tear down these cities. I'm going to not only am I going to tear down the city, but I'm going to deliver the man in charge into Joshua's hands. I'm going to deliver them into the hands of Israel because I'm going in there to get my girl. Rahab was a prostitute, a woman of the night. She was somebody that was shunned by society, but she had the foreknowledge of knowing that there was something about those spies. She never laid with them. She never played with them. She knew it was something on the inside of her that was going to connect her to help her get that stronghold off of her and her family. Because, see, when you are walking with God, no matter where you are, people are going to hear from you before you get hear about you before you get there. See, they already knew that the people of Israel had a God that didn't play with them. And when people know that you serve God in the way that you should serve God, they'll find out that not even the walls, that the enemy knows that not even the walls that he built to keep God out, to keep God from your life, to keep the people of God out of your children's life, to keep prayer out of school, to tear down the Ten Commandments from our government. See, that's what the enemy is doing. He is building these walls, and we don't even see them because we're so distracted by trying to be politically correct. But I'm going to be biblically correct. I'm going to listen to when God tell me, hey, I need you to go get with your saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled friend, because they had to have the priest. He had seven priests with him, and they had to go before the ark with seven trumpets of rams. Now, everything happened in the number seven, but something happened in the number six. They went around their quarry in 6 days. Six represents the number of man. That on the sixth day, that's when God did that. But the seventh day, everything was completed. So God does things in cycles. He does things in kairos. He does things with purpose and destiny tied together. It does not matter if it's Jericho, because they say that was one of the most massive structures that was built, because it symbolized a massive stone walls, bricks. And I mean, when it says that it was tightly and fitted tightly together, that meant there was no cracks, no crevices. You were not, you couldn't even peep out unless you was at the top of the wall. But that's how the enemy wants you. He wants you constricted, and he wants you confined behind the walls of Jericho. Who is the Rahab that's been trying to do the work of God that's behind Jericho wall that think that God is not going to come back for them? If he went back for Rahab to get her to tear down the walls, to make ramps into the city, and then Joshua them go in and take everything. If he tells Joshua to tell the people, I don't need you to say nothing. Just let them see. Sometimes God just wants to see you walking in faith. That's all. You don't have to say nothing. I'm going to say that right. God wants the people to see you walk in faith, but you ain't got to say nothing. You don't have to say a word. All you have to do is stand by faith, walk in faith, because if I had just been there and heard Joshua say, you're going to walk around this wall for 6 days. You're not going to whisper words. You're not going to utter a word. You're not going to say anything. You're going to be silent. You're not going to make any noise with your voice. You shouldn't even have any word to proceed out of your mouth. That's in verse 10, chapter 6, in case you want to follow me along with the word. Until the day I bid you to shout. When I bid you to shout, then you're going to shout. Sometimes we got to be quiet and not tell people what God is showing us, because there are dream assassins behind the walls of Jericho. Sometimes we have to be quiet and not say, well, hey, you know, I see this, because with some people, hearts like mine, I have to learn this. I'm preaching to myself. I have to learn this, that everything that God is showing me is not meant for everybody until the appointed time. And sometimes I'd be like, well, why can't I share this? This is the word. But it's sometimes when God wants you to be quiet, and at the appointed time, you have to let out the praise and the worship. When I'm going through some situation, I don't say, Bishop, I need you. Oh, woe is me. I'm behind this wall, this strong. All I do is just hum in my spirit like my grandma used to do and moan and rock. And sometimes it's about that groaning. It's the groaning of the Holy Ghost in you. And I honestly believe that the priest represented Jesus going before us because he is the new Ark of the Covenant. See, the Ark of the Covenant was a symbol. It was something that was built and fashioned by man's hand. But the new covenant was through Christ. And it was through his shed blood. See, when that goes through, nothing can stop you. When the blood is over you, nothing can prevent you. Nothing can keep you out. And see, one thing that was symbolic about the blood of Jesus, Rahab let a red string down so that when they came into the city, that they would know that that's the place that was not to be burned, because that's what happened. Like when they went in on the seventh day and they let out that shout, and said that, and he told them that he said, when the priest blew the horn, the trumpet, in verse 16, he said unto the people, he said, shout, for the Lord has given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all therein, to the Lord, but only Rahab the harlot shall live. Sometimes we be thinking that very one that ain't worth nothing, that's going to be the one that's going, God is going to use and connect to what he wants to his divine purpose. Because if anybody know, Rahab was the mother of, was one, she was, her lineage was Christ. He came from that lineage. And that was from, and it's symbolic of how we prostituted, how the world prostituted itself unto Satan to have the things that they thought was better than having God. See, the world has encompassed itself in the wall of Jericho because society has dictated that. It's telling us, you put up these walls, you tell these kids you can't spank or discipline your kids, you can't pray in school, the Ten Commandments don't need to be here, we don't need to have prayer here in these assemblies, we don't need to do this. She can be a boy if she wants to, he can be a girl if he wants to, and they can get married if they want to, Bob and Jim and Mary and Marie. They can marry each other because this is what we say, this is what we dictate. But the time is going to come when we just stay in prayer. The time is going to come if we just keep on worshiping God. The time is coming if we just do what God has instructed us to do. Number one, what is that he's telling us to do? To pray, have faith. What it says in the book of Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name shall pray and seek my face, humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, we'll hear from God, and he will heal the land. That's an instruction. People don't get it in this time, and they're not seeing, Bishop, they don't see the Jericho wall because the enemy has been blinded to everything else. We don't see the wall, but the walls are, the strongholds are so tight. Sometimes you be wondering, why they haven't been delivered? Because they're behind something that has confined them and that has them restricted from the truth. Because you know why they're restricted from the truth? Because we got some pastors and some preachers, and I know that's coming with your thing this weekend, but this is going to be the precursor to it. You got pastors and preachers that ran up in the cave, and they don't want to bring the word no more because they're scared of our society. Now, when they're scared of society, then the walls become even more thicker because they add to it. You know what I'm saying? Satan is back. He is building Jericho walls worldwide, and we refuse to build the body of Christ. He is building Jericho walls worldwide, and we're refusing to speak the truth and tell the truth. We're refusing to follow the instructions of the Lord. Pray, seek him, turn from our wicked ways. We are refusing, but we're helping, believe it or not, when we don't follow the instructions, we are building. We're part of the construction crew. We're helping building the walls of Jericho. Come on, Holy Ghost, and talk right now. We're building it where people can't get access into holiness. We're building it where it's keeping them outside in the world where danger is. We're making people talk, and we're not being quiet when we need to be quiet. We're not praying and fasting when we need to pray and fast. We're not forgiving when we need to forgive. We won't stop gossiping. We'll talk about somebody and then grin in their face, and then we wonder why our situation still held up. look. Our situation don't look like it's changed. We're worried about the cycles in the world, but we're the cycle breakers. Mm. We're worried about the generational curses, but we're the ones that are supposed to break the curse. Because when you get saved,
Hallelujah. The
curse is supposed to stop right there. But we keep the curses going because we hook it on to something else. We stay anchored in ungodly traditions. We stay anchored in superstition. We stay anchored in letting the world raise our children with TikTok, with all of these other things. We let the iPads and the cell phones. You got 5-year-olds got cell phones working better than a 50-year-old because that's their babysitter. That's their teacher. That's their Bible. That's their God. Simply because the parents are letting society build the Jericho walls with symbolism, idolatry. All of these things are Jericho walls.
Yeah,
you
come
are
on,
building
man.
When it's idolatry, that's a brick in the Jericho wall. When it's a symbolic of Satan, that's a brick in the Jericho wall. When you're teaching your children, they can do what they want. They can express themselves. They can tell you what they don't want. You live in my house. I'm paying bills. I'm feeding you and I'm clothing you. No, you're going to get knocked upside Jericho wall because a man that refused to beat to discipline their child hates their soul and damn them to hell. That's in the book of Proverbs. But no, you want to keep building Jericho wall, but you wonder why there are so many strongholds. You wonder why you can't get nothing through government because you're not praying for them. You're not praying that God send somebody into the White House that's going to follow the entire word, not because he's giving out stimulus check. Not because he said he want to make America great again. That's a symbol. That's idolatry. America would never be great again until they accept God as God and they go back to the ways of God. If they put God back in the schools, if they let parents raise their children, see, they still building the walls of
God.
I'm not going to say building. They're reinforcing it. They're reinforcing the walls. That's why the stones are so massive. That's why the strongholds are so strong. That's why some people can't get past. They can't get past keeping their mouth. So sometimes they so itching to tell the truth, but you got to obey God. You got to seek him. You got to seek his face. If God sent the captain of hosts to Joshua, what makes you think he's not going to send somebody to you to tell you and to give you instruction? You have Jericho walls. We all do. We have to know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it in order for the walls to come down. All it took was them to do what they had to do, follow instructions for 7 days. Sometimes God's telling us, Bishop, fast 2 days, fast 15 hours, fast 3 hours. Fast 7 days. Fast for 40 days. Lord, what's wrong with you? That'll kill me. Now it's going to kill that thing in you. It's going to bring that Jericho wall out of you. It's going to break those strongholds, those generational curses. The thing of it is that when God told Joshua in the beginning, back in, what was it, verse 2, he said, the Lord said unto Joshua, I have given unto thine Jericho and the king thereof. God has already told us what he's going to do. Some of us don't want to go through the process. We want microwave blessings. We want microwave answers. And it does not, to everything, there's a season, a purpose and a time under the sun. God holds time. He sits outside of time, and he tells time what to do. You don't tell God what you want in your time. You have to let God show you because you have to be prepared. You have to go through a process. And once you go through the process, he'll make everything fall, everything that is keeping you from your blessing. They said that the walls of Jericho fell like ramps into the city. That amazed me. And not only did he do that, he went in, and Joshua and two of the men over in, 6 and 22, Joshua and two of the men and that had spied out the company went to the harlot's house, and they brought her out. That meant God brought that woman out of her situation, not only out of demonic strongholds, but he brought her out of a lifestyle. He brought her into blessing. He sent Joshua and the two men that spied out the house. So Joshua was the leader. So the thing of it is, God is setting us up. All we have to do is wait. I don't care if your situation, if you feel dirty like Rahab, so in God's eyes, as long as you repent, the shed blood of Jesus, wash that whiter than snow. There is nobody on here that's perfect. There is nobody in this world that's perfect but Jesus Christ, the Lord, his Savior. But God will save a Rahab. He will tear down walls to a city to go in and get what belongs to him. He'll tear down, if some of these people have children that are locked up or loved ones locked up in prison and shouldn't, whether they were guilty or not, God has the right and he has the ability to pretty much forgive us. You know how I know? Because Bishop, he sent his son to forgive us. He sent his son to tear down the toughest Jericho wall, which was sin. He sent his son in here to tear down. See, Jesus tore down several Jericho walls. He came down, he tore down sin. He came down, he tore down death. He came down, he tore down hell. He came down and he tore down the grave. He broke all of that. Those things have no power. Jesus came as the Ark of the Covenant went before them. Jesus went before us. He went before us on the cross. And that thing right there that he brought down. And the thing of it was, they said that they nailed him to the cross. He ain't on the cross. What he nailed to the cross was hell, death, and the grave. So that represents Jericho. So if you are in a fallen state right now, get up, Rahab, and get ready. Get ready for God to send his word to come and get you. If you are in a situation where you feel like you're Elijah running and hiding up in the cave, get ready because you got to come out. There's purpose for you in the earth. And as long as you're up in the cave, hiding, servant leaders, whoever you are, saying that you need to take a break from preaching, you don't take no break from God because God don't take no break from us. You need to be in position. You need to be walking around doing what you have to do. If you got to stay in silence for a minute, be silent, but stay in prayer. Stay in fast and talk to God. Speak in tongues. Do what God is telling you to do. Let it come up from the inside of you, and then get on and do what it is that you got to do. And when the time comes when you will shout and tell the world, or when God said, hey, now I need you to go and you say this to so-and-so, so-and-so. I need you to go here and get this Rahab. I need you to go and get Ruth. I need you to bring Esther out because I need her to go before the king. I need her to save the Jewish nation. There is something out there for us to do. You should never let a Jericho wall or anything in front of you stop you when God Almighty has already sent Jesus to go before us. The breaker's anointing is already gone before us. All we got to do is go up the ramps and get it. Now, I'm going to say this in closing. If Rahab was a prostitute, and in verse 24, it said, they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron they put into the treasure of the house of the Lord. But in verse 25 it says, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all she had. And she dwelled in Israel even unto this day because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Let me put this on you. There is somebody God is going to ask you to assist and to help. Don't you look at the fact that they may be she a prostitute or he a crackhead, he on meth, or they a liar, they keep up too much stuff, or you know, she been with my man before, or he been with my woman before. You can't look at it like that. That's a purpose, and that's your assignment. You must follow the instructions, because what happened to the people in Jericho? None was spared. And the thing that should bother you is that you need to have that one person in your household that would defy what the politicians say. You need to be hooked up to those people that's going to speak the truth, live the truth, and stand up for the truth. Because that's what, she wasn't speaking truth, but she hid them. She knew it was something about, because they was from Israel. They had heard the Romans. God would let people, you know, there's a scripture that says, your gift will make room for you. Not only will your gift make room for you, but God would have people to take notice of you. Not only would they take notice of you, but they would have need of you. But you need to have that person connected to your household. And your household can represent your little cliques, your pastors, your church, your ministry, on the job, wherever you are. You need to be that one that's going to do what God needs to have done. Because there are so many strongholds. And the enemy is building an even stronger Jericho brick by brick. And we're sitting back looking as if we don't see it. But all we got to do is remain steadfast, follow the instructions of God, and see what he tells us to do and do it. And then when he tells us to move, move. And that's
yes,
how it's plain
amen.
And simple. There's no reason for a Jericho wall to be keeping you from God. You're called of God. Everything that God says that you can have, you're supposed to have it. It is
amen.
Yours. Salvation, number one, is yours. Redemption, number two, is yours. If there is anybody that is listening tonight that feels that they have lost and they can't get from behind Jericho, all you got to do is say Jesus. Acknowledge
yes.
him as your Lord and Savior. Believe that he was born of a virgin, that he died on the cross, that he laid in a borrowed grave because it was never his, and that he overcame the grave. He ascended into hell, took the keys of hell, death, and the grave from Satan in his own his own ground, and he ascended. He descended first, and he ascended and rose with all power. And now that he sits at the right hand of the throne of the Father, he represents the seven priests that went before the nation of Israel. He represents the Ark of the Covenant. He represents that shout of praise. He represents, and he, if you notice, the scripture said the captain of hosts, but Jesus is the general. And the instructions come from him and God. And the thing of it is,
amen.
All you got to do is just give your life over to the Lord. That Jericho wall, that stronghold, that generational curse will no longer hold you. That demonic anchor can no longer keep you grounded in it. Let those things, lay it at his feet. Start shouting and praising and do what exactly as God say. And I promise you, freedom is yours. He freed Rahab, and he's placed her in the lineage of Christ. Can you imagine
yes,
where God wants to place you in his purpose and destiny? And I pray to God that you heard this word, all who heard this word, that this word came to you as a great revelation, and that this word will take root in you, and that you would see what God wants you to see, do what he wants you to do, and live the perfect life, and tear down the Jericho walls that's in the earth and in your life and in your family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, and to God be the glory. What a powerful message we have heard on tonight. Hallelujah. Now, saints of God, this is our favorite time of the study. We have some GAP ministry servant leaders in the house, and all of you that are in the house, if you would like to put your praise on it, hallelujah, touch and agree. The way this works is in this studio, if you kindly press your one, that will let me know that you would like to have a word. I will address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number. But since I'm looking at some GAP ministry sitting in here, I'm going to let the servant leaders of GAP have a word. Elder Leola, come on in the room.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, Bishop. Good evening, Apostle Jay. The message really hit home because for the last few weeks in the morning when I get up after prayer, I turn on the news. And everything that Apostle Jay spoke on, that's what's going on in this world.
Yes.
And we, the servant leaders, they're going to have to get up. They're going to have to come out
yes.
of the cave. They're going to have to come out of the hiding. It's not about being political correct. It's not about
that's
losing
right.
members of the church. It's not about losing finances, your tithes or whatever. The word needs to be spoken. And
that's
we
right.
have to
Amen.
Get up and do it. We have to get up and do it. That was a great message. Thank you.
Amen. All right, my beloved Sister Mo. I see you up in here, girl. What's up, Sister? Come on up in the room, badly. Come on. I see you. Mm-hmm. 901, last four digits, 2415. Come on in the room.
It's holiday. Hello, hello
holiday.
Everybody. How y'all doing?
How
y'all doing?
Lord, I got all of y'all
tonight.
I'm coming to you next. Go ahead, Ms. Holiday. Go ahead, Mama Sugar. Go ahead,
Eva.
Go ahead. I'm next.
I'm not going to say much, but I disagree with everything Pastor Jay said tonight. And it was very enlightening because everything that goes on in the world is also affecting our lives as well.
That's right.
And we have to be mindful of everything that we say and do around other people, especially
That's
our
right.
young children, because
yes.
they mumble and do what we say and do, you know. And so we
right.
want to be impressionable with them as well because they are the next ones that's coming up behind us.
That's
and
right.
We just,
Amen.
Got, just, Yes, yes.
That's word.
Keep them in order as well as ourselves. And
amen. All right now. You said that. Hallelujah. That's a good word right there. See, that's why I love the servant leaders of GAP. I love the servant leaders of Spirit Alive because they are people that just want you to get it and be able to apply this word of God to your life is so that you can live in a way that you know you're living the abundant life right now. Hallelujah. So I'm going to go to 662, last four digits, 9230. Come on in the room, sis.
Praise the Lord, saints.
Praise
Hallelujah.
The Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I know who you are. Come on in here.
Everything. I completely agree, and I stand firm with you on everything that you stated. I guess my question or concern is, we get it. How do we get our leaders to understand that they can't be afraid and they have to walk in holy boldness?
That's good.
And they have to call them out. So how do we get them, like I'm a member of a church, and I know my pastor is somewhat headed that way, but I don't know if it's like the fear of losing the small amount of members we have or what it is, but how do we get them to just walk in holy boldness and know that?
By calling them on the carpet. By calling them on the carpet. That's what the people of God need to understand, okay? Servant leaders need to understand. We are accountable to God and to the people of God. And if we are not walking correctly, if we are sleeping with everybody in the church, if we are stealing, robbing the church blind, if you, as elders of that church, as people that know what's going on, if you do nothing, you are just as guilty. Read 1st and 2nd Peter, where the word of God tells us when we see a servant leader not acting right, we're supposed to call them on the carpet. We're supposed to call them into order. We're supposed to call them back to holiness. And you know, and the other thing is, as a servant leader, one of the things I'm doing is I'm living it out loud in their face every day without apology. If God has called us and sent us to take care of his sheep,
amen.
That means we're supposed to, and we are his under shepherds. Then we should be ministering to, protecting, teaching, doing everything that Jesus did, the way he did it.
And you said something key right there. We're supposed to be protecting the inner fold and the outer fold. You got somebody inside the church that's causing and disrupting things, then my thing would be, Angela, I would pray and fast and do what God's saying to do. And then if that doesn't work, then God's going to deal, because Leola and I dealt with it with our church, Elder Leola and I. We had somebody in our church. Well, Bishop, you remember? You remember when the girl, the witch, was up in there? She was wanting to put something on the pastor.
Oh, yeah, she had to go.
And he was doing everything he told her to do. And the thing is, he suffered. He got sick, like Bishop and Pastor Dean said. God was showing them. It was like they were the captain of a host, and they came to us and started giving us instructions on what to do. But he still didn't yield. Because he didn't yield, it hit his body, and he lost the church because she almost took the church.
Mm-hmm. And you know something? I know I'm drastic with my measures, and I say, or call them on the carpet. See, and I'm like this now because we are getting down to the nitty gritty. Time is winding down. I do not have time to sugarcoat things. I do not, you know. I'm talking to a prayer warrior. You hear me? So she's going to pray. She's going to fast. She's going to seek counsel. And she's going to use some of that quiet time to look around and see what's really going on. Because, see, when something isn't right, We don't, you know, we don't want to falsely accuse a servant leader. We're not trying to, you know, bring a servant leader down needlessly. But if the Lord continues to show it to you and you see it.
And when they're ignoring the conduct.
And they're ignoring, you know, and you're trying to lay the word
the conduct
down
of someone in leadership. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because
and you know, you sharing the word with them. You know what I'm saying? You know, some people, because some pastors, I just want to walk by and just ask them, brother, now tell me again, what does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul?
And see, that's the thing.
Explain
that
to me again.
Servant leaders. But see, there's somebody that they know that's in the church doing what they shouldn't be doing.
Of course. And today what's so sad about it, we have congregations that are almost, they gloat in being partners in crime with the pastor. They know his dirty little secret or her dirty little secret. And instead of saying, you know, we need to pray for this pastor. We need, you know, we need for this to line back up with the word of God because, you know, this can do damage to all the sheep here. You know what I'm saying? They'll be like, nah. Oh, we know pastor seeing people. We know pastor doing this. We know pastor's a pedophile, but we ain't going to say nothing. You know, we going to keep it right here in the church. No.
And it has to come from the head down.
It has to come from the head down. So I'm saying things in a way that I want congregations to understand. No, I am not giving you saying it's open season on servant leaders. But what I am telling you is you're a child of God just like they're a child of God. God could call you at any second just like he called them whenever he called them. And when and any person that is a true believer, blood-washed believer of God, I don't know where God is taking them. So you have just as much authority, just as much right, just, you know, to open up your mouth and declare the word of God in any situation just like anybody else.
Oh, wow, that's an instruction right there. I heard that one.
So, you know what? God might have not called you to do nothing but shine the light on something that ain't right.
Okay? Amen.
Now, that might be the only calling you ever get in life, but when he tells you, look, I'm showing you this. I'm showing you this for a reason. I continue to show you this. Are you praying to me and I'm showing you and you're doing what I tell you to do? And once you've done what you're supposed to do, he might sit you. You might go back and sit down and you might not have to get up no more for a long time because, you know, that's the way our Father works. So we need to be prepared. And when the Lord speaks to us, we need to be ready to obey. You know, so and no leader can lead unless they can follow.
That's a good word right there. That's a good
word
for her
right there. No leader can lead unless they're willing to follow. Because first, we better be following Jesus. You know, so, you know, we have to be able, servant leaders have to be able to take instruction and criticism and be able to hear people because perception is everything. And if one if a flock member comes to me and says, you know, I heard this couple going to ask you to marry them and they are the same sex. And you just kind of sit there and go, well, we'll just have to cross that bridge when we come to it. That's not good enough, Pastor. Are you going to stand on God's word or you're not?
And what she said, what Angela is talking about, you know, like if there's somebody in the church that has a position and the leader is, the servant leader is aware of the things that they do, which is not in alignment to the will of God or the word of God, but they're still in position.
They both wrong with two left shoes and they both should be pulled on.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. See, because the word of God is the word of God for everybody. Everybody.
Yes, it is.
Nobody is excluded from his holy and righteous word. Nobody. So, you know, I don't care how many names people want to string in front of themselves and letters and numbers and quotes, whatever. I don't care. They could be the grand poobah, archbishop, doctor, reverend, all of that. But you know what? The word of God still applies to them.
Does that help you, Angela?
Did that help you and my sweetheart?
A shot.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Okay, baby. I'm sorry. I know I was kind of long-winded and we would, you know, but that's the way I feel about it.
You know, I was soaking it all in.
Amen. Because I just want people to know, we, you know, you have a right. You just as, you know, we're all called to holiness. We're all called to be the righteousness of God. We're all called to be ministers of reconciliation. And it's not just reconciliation between people. That's reconciliation with the Word of God.
Amen.
What does the Word of God tell us in Romans? When we find our brother in a fault, those of us who are spiritual are to restore them. Now, how are we going to restore somebody if we're not even going to talk about it?
And how are you going
like
to bring correction
to the
change?
Yeah, it's like walking to the front of the cave saying, I see you in the cave, but I'm going to let you stay in that dark, dank cave and not come out here in the light where there's reserves and resources and Jesus and, you know, no, you know, you have to, we have to stand on what we know, and it doesn't matter who it is, we have to stand and say, you know what, come out from under, come out of that, come up out of that.
You have to correct the
kick
behavior,
that wall
you
down.
Have to bring, put the truth on the word, put the word and correction on it, so the behavior.
That's right, you got to, you have to.
If you pacify it, it's only going to get worse, you know, like
that's
when
right.
Some parents have their children. And they know their kid's bad. They know their kid's bad. So they either pacify them with money or with ice cream or pacify
with what they want.
But it
mm-hmm.
doesn't change the behavior. It makes it worse. It makes them even
that's
more
right.
confident. It, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I tell people, I'm not a pacifier or a puppet. I'm a pastor. And I'm going to lead a church the way God commands that you lead a church. And that means ain't nobody going to be content living in the sin that they in. Oh, no. We all going to get convicted up in here. We all going to get some do-right up in here. So, you know, I'm just saying we got to live for God without apologies, without exception. Hallelujah. Do we have time for one more hallelujah, maybe one more voice? Let me call on 901, last four digits, 0793. Come on in the room. Amen. Well, we'll be moving right along. All right, Apostle, if there be nothing else, our minds are clear. This was a beautiful teaching.
I had to
all right
out
now.
How to
leave
my phone.
Oh, that's all right, sweetheart. Look, girl, look here. Look, I'm glad you said something. Talk Bishop, keep it rolling. Yes, ma'am. Come on to the room.
Okay, I just got in, but I was hearing where y'all was talking about if same-sex couple wants you to get married somebody. And then it made me think about Apostle Lee Harris and when he knew that people in the choir and in the church were not living according to where they were supposed to, and he made them step down until they
Amen.
Got everything together.
Yeah,
so
he did.
That's
you
know,
what you have to do.
You
what
have
you
to
have
say
to do.
And, you know, you have to do it according to God's word. So
that's right. That's right. That's what I was saying to Apostle Jay earlier.
Angela.
You know, I said I have no problems telling people, no, Twan, you can twirl away from the choir department and these children. No. You know, I'm
Amen.
Just keeping it real. No. You know, you come to me, Bishop, I want you to marry us. No, you can sit under the word all day, every day. But see, your rights stop where mine begin.
Yep.
And I, you know, and I believe what the word says. Now, I'm not to judge you. I'm not to criticize you. I've been called to share God's word with you. And that's all I'm going to do. for you. Amen. And to God be the
and
Lord.
You know, can I say something right quick?
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead.
Hello? Right. And one of my problems is I think some of the leaders pick and choose, I guess, quote-unquote, seniors. Because if you want to sit a young lady down for being pregnant, she sings in the choir, but the drama is the one that got her pregnant, but he's still playing every Sunday. I don't get that.
Wow.
We got to do it across the board. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
That's good. That's good. I like that. Well, dear saints of God,
wow.
We just want to praise God for this wonderful study. I praise God for all of you. This has been Bishop Shalene Cook, and I'm so glad I'm here tonight with my beautiful sister, Apostle J. Leon Travis, and her beautiful staff of Gap Ministry for their Bible studies. We pray that you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at
God
the Spirit Alive
everybody.
Network.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. God bless you.
Good night.
God bless you, too. Love y'all. Bye.
Love you too.